वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 5, text 26. Sarvani, sarvani madhishnyataya bhavadbish, charani bhutani sutadruvani, sambhavitavyani pade padevo, विविक्त दृग्भिस्तदुहारणं मे. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My dear sons, you should not envy any living entity, be he moving or non-moving. Knowing that I am situated in them, you should offer respect to all of them at every moment. In this way, you offer respect to me. Purport. In this verse, the word vivikta drigbhi, meaning without envy, is used. All living entities are the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His Paramatma feature. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham, the Lord is situated in this universe as Garbhodakshai Vishnu and Kshirodakshai Vishnu. He is also situated within every atom. According to the Vedic statement, Ishavasyamidam Sarvam, the Supreme Lord is situated everywhere, and wherever He is situated is His temple. We even offer respects to a temple from a distant place, and all living entities should similarly be offered respect. This is different from the theory of pantheism, which holds that everything is God. Everything has a relationship with God because God is situated everywhere. We should not make any particular distinction between the poor and the rich, like the foolish worshippers of Daridra Narayan. Narayan is present in the rich as well as the poor. One should not simply think Narayan is situated among the poor. He is everywhere. An advanced devotee will offer respects to everyone, even to cats and dogs. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shunichaiva shapakecha pandita samadarshinah. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater, outcast. Bhagavad Gita 5.18. This samadarshinah, equal vision, should not be mistaken to mean that the individual is the same as the Supreme Lord. They are always distinct. Every individual person is different from the Supreme Lord. It's a mistake to equate the individual living entity with the Supreme Lord on the plea of vivikta drik, samadrik, etc. The Lord is always in an exalted position, even though He agrees to live everywhere. Srila Madhvacharya, quoting Padma Puran, states, Vivikta drishti jivanam dishnyataya parameshwarasya bheda drishti. One who has clear vision and who is devoid of envy can see that the Supreme Lord is separate from all living entities, although He is situated in every living entity. Madhvacharya further quotes from Padma Puran, Upapadayet paramatmanam jivebhyoya pade pade bhedenaiva na chaitasmat priyo vishnustu kaschana. One who sees the living entity and the Supreme Lord as always distinct is very dear to the Lord. Padma Puran also states, Yo hareshchaiva jivanam bheda vakta hare priya. One who preaches that the living entities are separate from the Supreme Lord is very dear to Lord Vishnu. It is explained later that the sons of Lord Rishabhdev were already advanced devotees and were not really in need of a basic instruction like this. at least from their point of view. But we see again and again in the scriptures the logic of the mother-in-law training her daughter when the training is meant for the daughter-in-law. For example, the newly arrived daughter-in-law in the house doesn't have that informal relationship. There is much more awe and reverence. So the daughter-in-law may not be educated directly. But if there is an unmarried daughter, then the mother-in-law tells her that very soon you are going to be married. Keep your house clean. Don't laugh too loudly. Keep your head covered. Cook nicely. And she will say, yes, yes. And this way, in this way, you'll keep your husband happy. Now, although it is meant for the daughter, it is a daughter-in-law who understands that this is how I should be understanding things. Similarly, here, the sons of Lord Rishabhdev are being told. He always says, Me Suta, O my sons. Previously we heard him saying, O my sons born from my heart. They are so dear to him. And here he is telling them something which in today's times, this kind of instruction may rank as a very high kind of philosophy. Seeing God everywhere. It's a fact that unless we come to this understanding of having equal vision, Prabhupada in so many of his lectures and purports declares, there is no question of progress in spiritual life unless you get that equal vision. Now what is that equal vision? How do you see equality everywhere when, as we say, even the five fingers of our hand are not similar? You can't replace any one of them with the other. They're all distinct. Even with their functions, they are different. Like you can't put a ring in your thumb. It looks very ugly, isn't it? They all have their different names. The Sanskrit language is very varied. It has Angushti, Karanguli, Madhyama, Tarjani, all different names. It is not like middle finger, ring finger and small finger like that. They all have their different functions also. So, it's always a tug of war between seeing the variety and then trying to understand the unity. And the Bhagavad Gita as well as all Upanishads and Srimad Bhagavatam, they have this understanding of there will be few verses which will exhibit the diversity, the so much variegatedness. Like this verse which Prabhupada quotes here from Bhagavad Gita, it says, Vidya Vinaya Sampanna. Sampanna means very prosperous, very rich. So somebody who is very prosperous, who has mature knowledge, Vidya, and according to our scriptures, mere Vidya alone has no value. Vidya has to be having the foundation of Vinaya. Vidya Vinayena Shobate. If somebody has knowledge and he has the humility with their knowledge, then that knowledge is actually glorified. So this Brahmana, what does he see? Gavi, a cow. Hastini, an elephant. I am sorry, this is a Pandit. A Pandit sees a Vidya Vinaya Sampanna Brahman, a learned sage, a cow, an elephant, Shuni, that is a dog, and Shvapaka, one who eats a dog. He sees all of them as equal. Samadarshina. Now, because of so much propaganda by Mayavad and Mayavadis, it is very easy for someone today to proclaim from a podium or from a meeting dais that everybody is equal. We see everybody as equal. There is no discrimination. We want to have equality. And then everybody claps. Yes, we want equality. But it didn't work. For 70 years, the communist states were having that so-called proclamation of equality. No classes. Everybody is equal. But then they found that even in a classless society, there were few privileged classes who would enjoy at the cost of others. So why is it that people don't want variety or people don't like gradations? Because it is always a fear that somebody who is above you will try to exploit you. It's always that you do this, you do this, you do this, and I sit back and relax. That's how I am working. I work through others. So this exploitation reached to such a level or such a limit that the Shudras, who are the majority, they rebelled. They said, hell with this. We have the production, the means of production in our hands. So why should one person enjoy at the cost of millions? So in Russia, this experiment was conducted, but it didn't last long. So, how do devotees understand what is equal vision? What is expected from us? In one lecture, in a setting, I think it was in Sweden, one participant in the lecture, he asked this question, that have you developed equal vision? He challenged Prabhupada. You're talking of equal vision so much. Do you have equal vision? So naturally, a Vaishnav will not proclaim that, yes, I have equal vision, yes, I see God. So he said, if you have equal vision, just now in your lecture, you criticize someone. You said, this philosophy is bad, this philosophy is wrong. If you have equal vision, why don't you say that everybody is correct? What do you mean equal? Everybody is equal. So Prabhupada said, we take guidance only from Krishna. But what Krishna has given, we give equally to everybody. We make discrimination as to who should be giving us. We will take our instruction only from Krishna. That's all. But giving Krishna's instructions to others or giving knowledge, sharing Krishna's knowledge, in that we won't make any distinction between high, low, birth or European born or Indian born or low caste or high caste. So, Prabhupada writes in one purport that for a devotee, his equal vision begins. It's very important for us that our equal vision begins when we start working to get everyone back to Godhead. Very significantly, Prabhupada says, when devotees start working in such a way, whether we are distributing the holy name, whether we are distributing prasad, or whether we are distributing Prabhupada's books, that is knowledge. Mainly, Prabhupada expected his followers to profusely distribute three things. Distribute the holy name without discrimination, distribute Krishna Prasad without discrimination, and distribute Krishna Katha without discrimination. So only when we start doing that, our equal vision begins. And he says one starts respecting, like here he is saying, respect every living entity. We have trouble respecting our neighbor or somebody from the other community or other caste. What to speak of respecting an ant or a worm? Like one devotee, Govinda Dasi, it's an animal or a worm called a slug. You know what a slug is? It goes very slow. And it's very ugly looking. It is sticky. So, Prabhupada was recuperating from his heart attack. And he was in a sanatorium kind of facility. And due to the cold weather there, on the windowsill, this Govinda Dasi saw a slug. And she was wondering what Prabhupada would do when she would show him that. Prabhupada said, chant to that poor thing. So even in those early days, she could understand that we may be showing Prabhupada so much variety in this material world, but he is not actually phased or he is not affected by seeing so much variety. He only sees Krishna's energy in action. So one develops this equal vision. The first step in showing respect to all living entities is by showing respect to one spiritual master. That at least show respect to him. Sarva Deva Maya Guru Acharya Mam Vijaniyan Na Avamanyet Karhichit. Never disrespect your spiritual master. Na Martya Buddhya Suyet. Never have the Martya Buddhi. Never think he is an ordinary mortal. Like I was in a place and one scholar from other religion, he said he's a scholar. He said, why you accept guru in your Hinduism? He says, the guru eats food, you eat food. What happens to the food he eats? Same thing, what happens to your food? He sleeps, you sleep. So why make one ordinary mortal whose body is just like made with blood, pus, tissues, veins, why say that he is my guru and worship the very place where he sits, take the dust of his lotus feet? Why? And it's a fact. Somebody may be confused. Like in one airport, one reporter, with a look of a shock on his face, he said, Swamiji, I just saw that these people are worshipping you. Prabhupada said, yes. And I am worshipping my guru. He said, it is normal. Nothing abnormal. Like when he came to London, they said, Swamiji, why you are brought in this Rolls Royce car? And immediately Prabhupada could detect that he is saying that this person is a spiritual master. Why they are glorifying him so much? If you are a sadhu, why do you need a Rolls Royce? And Prabhupada's answer was, this is a tin Rolls Royce. They should bring a representative of God in a gold Rolls Royce, and that also would not be enough. If you respect your guru as God, you have to give him respect that like God. So, one can begin respecting other living entities with that one particular living entity who is your own guru. And when you respect him, when you obey him, and then if it is guru's bead bag, you respect that. Your guru's shoes, you respect them. Your guru's other disciples, he says, respect them. Whoever the guru says, you respect afterwards. So that's how respecting all living entities begins with. And of course, one develops this respect for other living entities primarily by giving up jealousy and envy. These two things are very, very big, stubborn obstacles. Giving jealousy and envy. Srinath Ji Prabhu has a very unique understanding of jealousy and envy, which I find very interesting. He says, jealousy is when you are very angry that somebody is getting something nice or somebody is being favored. And envy is jealousy in action. So, your neighbor gets a brand new Mercedes car and all day long you are rubbing your hands
as to how dare he got this money from and how can he buy such a nice car, and you just can't concentrate your mind on anything else. Nothing amuses you anymore. And envies, you take a stone and break his windscreen as to how this rascal will be enjoying in this car. So that is jealousy, where you are angry at something, and envy is when you put that into action, you actually harm it. And therefore, envy has no medicine. Even the spiritual, in the scriptures, they say that envy is something you have to work on yourself. Every other thing, lust, anger, pride, madness, can be worked. Illusion, there is something which works like a 100% effective formula. But your envy, why envy is so difficult? It is the original thing which brought us here. Envy of Krishna. Jealousy of Krishna is, why he is only the enjoyer, why he is so beautiful. And jealousy is when you start your having your own raslilas. Like one Indian gentleman, he asked Prabhupada, I have only one problem with Krishna. Everything about him is glorious. Why does he dance with other people's wives? So Prabhupada explained that Krishna, his potency, who is Radharani, who are the gopis, who are the living entities. And after the discussion reached a summit, so Prabhupada said, the question to be discovered is, or the answer to be discovered is, not why Krishna is dancing other people's wives, why you are dancing with Krishna's wife. Because that living entity whom you have accepted as your wife is a part and parcel of Krishna. She is his property. Of course, he had no more questions after that. Like one Calcutta businessman told Prabhupada that I own mines. I am a mine owner. And Prabhupada said, what do you make of that? We make glass, we make fiber. So Prabhupada said, so you are a thief, huh? And he got the shock of his life. Someone brings me to some Swami who is very famous for making Americans as his disciples, and I try to impress him by how much money I have, and this person has the gall to call me a thief. No other Swamis call me thieves like that. They would say, so please, we are having a small ashram here. Could you give some small donation? And I would say, okay, Swamiji, you will have my benediction. Take some few thousands. And this Swami is calling me a thief. And Prabhupada said, wait a minute. Who owned these? Who created these? Are they yours? After you leave, they will still remain here. And these books say that Krishna says, I am the owner of everything. So it took some time for him to understand, but Prabhupada was very blunt about it. So in so many thoughts, words and action, our envy and jealousy may be actually be shown. So, one of the arguments against Arjuna's unwillingness to fight in the battlefield of Kurukshetra was not seeing that equality. Now it's difficult. You are in the battlefield. Behind you are your own people. Against you are your enemies. How are you supposed to be showing equal vision? Equal vision means either you treat everybody equally or you kill your people also along with them. Isn't it? So Arjuna is saying, Aho bat mahat papam. Kartum vyavasita vayam yad rajya sukha lobena hantum svajanam udyata. He says, oh, curse this rajya sukha lobh, this greed which I have for enjoying royal happiness is causing me to kill my own people. Very nice statement, very grand statement, shows that Arjuna is a very cultured person and he doesn't want to enjoy this rajya sukha. And Krishna catches him by the neck for this statement, Swajana. He says, what is this Swajana? And that purport, Prabhupada says,
You call somebody your swajana on the basis of your skin. This is the original skin disease. Who is your swajana? Just because somebody is born in your family, somebody with your surname is your swajan? Oh, I am Jindal, he also is a Jindal. I am Rao, he also is a Rao. Oh, I am from Canara, he is also from South Canara. In India, there are a billion reasons for us to get united and a billion and one to make us completely disunited. Isn't it? We may have a North Canara GSB Cooperative Bank. There's cooperation only among that particular niche. Somebody from South Canada is out. So, how do we maintain that unity? Like people wonder, India as a country, is it functioning as a country? There are so many sub-countries in between, so many sub-nationalities. Of course, what happens when Indians go out? Oh, then even if you see one Sardarji somewhere, you say, hey, how are you? You know, nice to see an Indian here. Why? Because among all of these, we see one swajan. What is the equality? He's Indian, I am Indian. It is said that in the Middle East, where the British and American, they have gross partiality towards Asians, Indians, Pakistanis and Bangladesh are the thickest of friends. How? Because they are commonly threatened by the Western Europeans. So we say that Europeans, you know, all are one. Nothing can be farther from the truth. Or Americans are all one. Nothing can be farther from the truth. So, it is very, very, very difficult to have this equality on the basis of the skin color or the body platform. So, how is someone to be called self-realized? When he sees this equal vision. The Mayavadis, under the guidance of one particular mission, they started this program of Daridra Narayan. You are worshipping Narayan in the temple with so much pomp and glory and flowers and fruits. What about this Narayan in the street? So Prabhupada makes a very interesting comment. He says, by starting this Daridra Narayan food service or medical service or education service, the people are still Daridra while the Swamis are living like Narayan. Those Swamis who are running this mission are living like Narayan very nicely in their own quarters while people are still remaining Daridra there. So when one person asked Prabhupada, why don't you show equality and serve the Daridras also outside? It seems ISKCON is only for the rich people. Because we see only moneyed people coming here and, you know, doing worship. So Prabhupada said, no. Our programs are for everybody. We welcome anybody for our festivals. For those who cannot understand philosophy, we distribute prasad. The holy name is for everyone. But the fact is, we do not discriminate, but you discriminate as these people are poor and they need something special. Please try to understand. We say that everybody is poor from the spiritual point of view. So we give appropriate medicine. Everyone is sick. But that doesn't mean the same injection can be shot of everybody. Everybody is sick, but different medicine is required. But you guys, because you want that money, you totally cut away the rich or the other class of people and you concentrate on this food relief distribution or food distribution just because you want to continue your Daridra Narayan Seva. So it is you who are discriminating. Just like we have Mother Teresa and her charity program. So she opened a branch in London and the British people were aghast. They said, what do you mean? You should be opening these things in Asia and Africa. The lepers and poor and other people, they're all there. How can you dare start your branch here in London? You think we are poor like that? And she said, I have seen more poverty of thought in Europe and America than in the slums of Asia and Africa. What she was saying was that poverty of spiritual mature thought, which doesn't come by just material knowledge or advancement of material knowledge, that comes by getting knowledge from the revealed scriptures. So, this Dharadanarayan Seva, or not having that equal vision, in one another instance, Prabhupada said, worship Daridra Narayan, the poor fellow in the street, and kill goat Narayan. And Prabhupada says, how does it compare? You worship one poor guy because he is, there is Narayan in his heart, and then you kill the poor goat. Isn't Narayan in the goat's heart also? In South India, there is a story of a devotee, so-called devotee, who was making chapatis. And after every chapati is fully puffed, he would put some ghee on it and put it on the heap. And a dog was so hungry that a dog just jumped, snatched the chapati from the tongs which he was holding and ran away. And this devotee was so surprised and he was so embarrassed. He picked that ghee pot and he's saying, oh my lord, you forgot the ghee. And they are saying, look at his vision. Just look at his vision. Even in the dog, he was seeing this, there is Narayan here. But we call this Mayavad. Because you cannot make the body as the basis of equality. The basis of equality has to be the presence of Narayan inside. As Prabhupada says in Brahma Samhita says, Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham. A Vaishnava sees everybody as equal. Like if I want to become a Vaishnava, for me, everybody is a servant of God. So they are equal to me. But no. I make a big distinction. I say that for me, I am trying to become a Vaishnava, but everybody else, there is a Paramatma in his heart. And therefore, I call them Prabhu. Who is Prabhu? If somebody calls you Prabhu, you say, ah, yes, what do you want? No, not in that sense. When somebody addresses you as Prabhu, he is addressing not you, the Jivatma staying in this body, but the address is slightly to the left, to the Paramatma who is the next door neighbor, who is the, not the next door neighbor, even the next fellow sitting on the same branch of the tree. Dva Suparna Sayuja Sakhaya Samana Vriksha Parisajjate. The other bird sitting on the same branch of the tree. So Prabhu is the Paramatma. And therefore, in one nice lecture, Prabhupada summarized India's situation. Therefore, Mayavad creates atheism. This false sense of equality and no understanding of Krishna's position, Mayavad philosophy creates that atheism, and politicians make people perfect atheists. The Mayavadis begin the process, the politicians finish it off. Calling everybody equal, everybody equal, everybody equal. Like for example, we don't want to dabble in politics, but look at the job reservation issue or the student seat reservation issue. In the name of having everybody equal, all our elections are fought on the basis of caste politics. How has it gone from the face of India? It's not achieved yet. And it will never be achieved. Because as long as everyone clings to their selfish desires, we cannot make everybody falsely equal. Even in the spiritual world, the Lord is one and all his servitors are one. That doesn't mean they become one. Or the servant becomes God, or God becomes servant, they remain distinct. But in that oneness, there is variety. This is what Lord Chaitanya taught. Achintya Bheda Bhed. It is Achintya, cannot be conceived easily. There is Bhed, there is Abhed. And just to completely shake the foundation of this nonsensical society which had its basis in the Vedas but became perverted due to so many attacks by Shankaracharya's philosophy, by Buddha's philosophy and so many others. Lord Chaitanya did so many revolutionary things. He picked up Haridas Thakur. He was not even in the Vedic classification. He was born a complete outcast. Not even in Hindu religion. He made him Namacharya. He picked Ramananda Roy. He was a Shudra. And he discussed the highest pastimes with him. In fact, the Chaitanya Charitamrita describes Bhavananda Rai, who is a father, he proclaimed that, "My Lord, you touch me, you embrace me. This is the proof that you are a Supreme Personality of Godhead." That means at that time, Hindu society was so rigid. Can you imagine staying in a society where if a Muslim throws water on you, you become a Muslim? Or later, if a priest throws a big loaf of bread in the village well, and whichever family draws water from that well, they all become Christians. Absurd. Christ would be very unhappy to get this kind of Christians. He broke bread and gave it to all of his disciples and said, "This is me. This is my body. You say you are all unqualified. So I am breaking this bread. And this is my existence. And I am giving each of you a part of my existence. So now you go and behave like me. You go and preach like me." And then he knelt down and started washing the feet of all his disciples one by one. And they said, "Master, don't do like this. I can't tolerate this." He said, "I am only doing this." He told one disciple, "I am only doing this to you so that you should know," telling others, "that if he, for me, is worthy of so much respect, how much more worthy he is for you." So that's how he worshipped the lotus feet of all his disciples, so that they will respect each other in turn. Do you think that by just having some bread throwing in a well, people can be converted? So this conversion also is a sign that I am superior to you. My path is superior to your path. More than my path, it is me who is superior to you. Like, why do you wear expensive shoes and show to somebody else, "These shoes are superior to your shoes"? That means these shoes are superior to you. And because I am wearing these shoes, I am superior to you. So this goes with your money, fame, knowledge, education, bodily features, anything. And thus the sense of superiority goes on unchecked. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya, when he embraced Bhavananda Rai, Bhavananda Rai said, "I am a Shudra." He said, "No, you and your family are my servitors, birth after birth." He says, "Bhavananda Rai, you are actually Pandu. Your five sons are the Pandavas." So from that point of view, Ramananda Rai is Arjun. And he says, "You will eternally serve me." And then he said, like, what is the proof that somebody has accepted you, whether as a servitor or whatever, that when you give a gift, that person accepts it? So when Bhavananda Rai offered Vaninath Pattanayak, "Please accept him as your servitor," Lord Chaitanya said, "Yes, he will serve me intimately." Otherwise, previously, even in India, if a Shudra would come and sit in somebody's place, after he leaves the place, they would wash it with cow dung. The limit of this was shown by Ramchandra Khan. When Nityananda Prabhu came to his residence, he cleaned that place with cow dung, thinking that this place is contaminated. And the result is, a whole village was destroyed by the servants of the emperor. They killed a cow in that very place, cut that meat, cooked it and ate it up. So, when you offend a Vaishnav, and especially who can be more like a symbol or emblem of showing this equality, other than Nityanand Prabhu. It says, Prati ghore ghore giya. He would go to every house, knock on the door, fall at people's feet, and say, please accept Krishna's name, please accept Lord Gaurav's name. So therefore, in the end, Prabhupada gives 2-3 nice quotes from Madhvacharya, especially in Padma Puran, that one who sees the living entity and the Supreme Lord as always distinct is very dear to the Lord. One who preaches that the living entities are separate from the Supreme Lord is very dear to the Lord. And those who see Bhede Naiva, Jive Bhyoya Pade Pade, one who constantly understands every moment that the living entity is eternally the servitor of the Supreme Lord. They are all equal. The servants are all equal. But there is variety. So equality is on the basis of their spiritual existence. And respect is shown by seeing the Supreme Lord in everyone's heart. That is the sum and substance of seeing equality. So we shall stop here. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments, additions? Yes, Radhapati Prabhu, please pass on the mic.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, this point of the vision of equality, how do we apply this to treatment given to pests like cockroaches and rats? Because it's a day-to-day problem people are facing.
The question is, how do you apply the treatment of equality to pests, rats, cockroaches, insects in your own household? Well, for you, there's a very special instruction in the 9th canto. If I remember correctly, it says that for a householder, you have to treat all these creatures as your own children. Tough order. The thing is, you have to see that cleanliness is not compromised. Like once, Harisori Prabhu was putting a net for Prabhupada. And then there is a mosquito. And he just tried to kill it. And Prabhupada said, no. Don't unnecessarily kill it. And then after some time, it came near Prabhupada's face. And Prabhupada said, hey, he's attacking, kill him. So, when it became a demon, when it tried to attack devotees, then I had to take that extreme effect. So, it's not that with a vengeance we just unleash poisonous chemicals on them and wipe them out completely, only to find that they come on us again. That's what happens in the outside world. Man just wants to increase production recklessly without following the rules of material nature. So we spray DDT on crops. DDT was developed in the 30s and 40s as a deadly poisonous chemical only meant for crop protection. Now DDT is banned in so many countries. Those pests for whom DDT was meant, they are still alive. They have grown immunity. They have grown immune to that chemical. But human beings will still die because of DDT. What does it mean? That means there is some higher power who is protecting them. Man has not become immune by eating DDT. But the ordinary grapes you may purchase tomorrow in the street, in Crawford Market, will have a nice fine coating of that DDT chemical. And when you eat that, your body will not be able to retain it or to do not know what to do with it. So, I'm just giving your domestic question a big projected understanding. So, we have to sort of live in such a way that the cleanliness principles are upheld. At the same time, try your best to serve these living entities in such a way that they don't disturb your bhajan. It's not that you see rats crawling over your altar and you say, ha ha, so nice, all the living entities are becoming devotees of God now. That's nonsense. Like if a dog comes in the temple, we all will not rush with a garland that maybe Krishna has come today in a different form. We will call our security people and fire them. What are you doing? But at the same time, If we go out with prasad and if we see a dog, maybe a completely wretched dog, completely flea covered, we'll still offer him prasad. So everybody has to be served in that particular location. Prabhupada's father had a cloth shop and he would always have mice crawling all over that shop. Every night without fail, he would put some rice for them. Simple thing. Not a very earth-shattering event. But that's what he would do to show that even they need, you know, their food. So this question has to be taken very judiciously. The cleanliness thing has to be maintained. Purity has to be maintained. And as far as possible, some prasad or something has to be given to these. Because they have come in the house of a Vaishnav. You should understand that or that too. Who knows, there might be a future devotee just waiting for some crumbs from your plate. And once he gets that, he will join the ashram next birth. Let me add something, Govind Prabhu. Is it okay or just... So we'll stop here. I'm sorry, I went about time. Srila Prabhupada ki, Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki, Tai Gaur Premanande.